1 Corinthians chapter 12. Same passage that we just read. We return to our theme for the year, power for living. And today, not without the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word that teaches us truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And for the Holy Spirit who wants to manifest himself through our lives to your glory. Teach us how this works, that we may be useful to you for your purposes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was digesting this sermon, it was all prepared and I'm digesting it, I realized that my approach in preparing the sermon was kind of a backdoor approach to making a point. We're going to talk a lot about ignorance today because of the point that he makes at the very beginning of the chapter. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. And there are real dangers of being ignorant. Because if we don't know what we're supposed to know, things won't be as they ought to be in our Christian lives. There is great potential for us. He says here in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. And in verse 5, there are differences of administrations. And in verse 6, there are diversities of operations. There's great potential. But if we are ignorant about how this works, it won't work in our lives. So he says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorance is not the inability to know. Ignorance is simply not knowing. Ignorance is lacking the information that makes understanding possible. Made me think of an incident that's recorded in the book of Acts over in Acts chapter 19. Perhaps you'll remember when the Apostle Paul was in the city of Ephesus. And because of his preaching and leading so many people to Christ and the effectiveness of the work that he had done there, there was a silversmith by the name of Demetrius who made little idols and sold them in the marketplace. And his business was just going downhill very fast. And so he made a big disturbance, and it drew a crowd, and there were so many people, they all went to the theater there in the open-air theater in Ephesus, which seats 25,000 people. So there was this huge crowd, and everybody starts chanting one thing or another. As it describes in Acts chapter 19, verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Can you imagine? 25,000 people all gathered in this arena, and they're all shouting one thing and another, and then one guy says to the other, what are we shouting about? Why are we here? I don't even know why we're here. But let's have fun. We don't know why we're doing this, but let's do it. Isn't that the way so much of the time for people? Follow the crowd. They have no idea why. Follow the crowd because of their ignorance. There's a real danger to ignorance that makes a person vulnerable to error. Would you look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3? Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. Speaking of the Israelites in the Old Testament, He says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now, they didn't know about the righteousness of God. They could have if they'd paid attention, but they didn't pay attention. They could have if they would have listened, but they didn't listen. And they didn't know. They were ignorant. And so since they didn't understand God's righteousness and how that works, they went about to make their own and got themselves into a lot of trouble as a result. Here in the book of Corinthians, Paul is concerned about the ignorance of the Corinthians, just as he was concerned about the ignorance of the Israelites in the Old Testament. And so he reminds the people, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, of their former ignorance. He says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Reminds them about how ignorant they were in their former life, before they were Christians, in their idolatry. Now, perhaps you've heard of the Roman city of Pompeii that was destroyed by the volcano. There was a temple to Isis, the idol Isis, there in Pompeii. And, you know, they have excavated, and the preservation of the city of Pompeii is amazing. They have streets with sidewalks and everything. It's kind of interesting to see an ancient city preserved as it was. But in the temple of Isis, there's a secret stairway that went up behind the statue of Isis. And in the back of Isis's head, there was a tube that went from the back of the head and to the parting of the lips in the front. And the priest of Isis would walk up the steps and stand behind the statue and speak through this tube. And when people were in the temple of Isis, they would think that the god Isis was talking to them. They didn't know. There's a lot of deception that went on. That's only one example of a similar kind of thing in a number of temples that have been revealed through excavation. A lot of deception that went on. I would think the priest obviously knew that he wasn't the god Isis, right? So there's a lot of deception going on there. And the ignorance that people had in idolatry and the error that they suffered and the consequences they suffered as a result of that, that's what he refers to here. "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." The deception because of their ignorance. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about something that's very important to the body of Christ and each individual believers. So he tells the Corinthians that God does not want us to be ignorant now as they were in the past. God does not want us to be ignorant about the fact that spiritual activity belongs to the Spirit. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. Do you notice in the text that the word gifts is in italics? Now, it's supplied there because the word spiritual is an adjective. And you know, adjectives modify nouns. But there's no noun for that adjective to modify. It's appropriately supplied because of the gifts that are noted, like in verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9. In this immediate context, he's talking about the gifts given to us by the Spirit. But the purpose of the word adjective, the adjective spiritual in verse 1, and not immediately supplying in the original text the word gifts, is to tell us that these things, whether there be diversities of gifts or differences of administrations or diversities of operations or whatever, all of these things belong to the Holy Spirit. They belong to Him. So God does not want us to be ignorant about the fact that what we are given is not a talent or a task, but something that belongs to the Holy Spirit. And therefore, what is given to us is not a talent or a task, but the manifestation of the Spirit Himself. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, to profit withal. Manifestation, to show, to demonstrate. Manifestation of the Spirit. That's what we've been given. Not a talent. A lot of people look at spiritual gifts and say, oh, God has given me this gift. Now I need to go do it myself. Oh, no. It's not going to work if you try it on your own. You ever see these people that do these great feats or whatever, some gymnastic thing or some jumping a motorcycle over a bunch of cars or whatever. And then they say, now don't try this at home. Well, it's like the Holy Spirit is saying to you, don't try this on your own. These things belong to the Holy Spirit. They're not talents and they're not tasks. They are things that belong to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the only one who can do them. And so what He wants to do is to show Himself, manifest Himself, show Himself through us by doing these things. Verse 11. But all these things worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. The Spirit does the working of them. Notice verse 6. It is the same God which worketh all in all. God is the one who does the working of these things. God is the one who does the working through us of all these gifts. Working. The word working in the original language is a word that we're familiar with. It's the word energy. Energy. The energy for spiritual gifts comes from the Holy Spirit. The energizing that takes place in our lives that brings about the actual operation of spiritual gifts comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, if we don't understand that, if we look at spiritual gifts as a talent that He gives to us, oh, He gives me the ability to teach. God gives me the ability to teach. So I'm just going to go teach. God gives me the ability. So it's my job to go do it. You know, if you try this on your own, it's not going to be effective. There are a lot of people that do it. A lot of people preach and teach entirely in the flesh, and there's very little profit that comes from it. If there's going to be real spiritual profit that comes from teaching and preaching, it has to be from the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I'm going to be a helper. And helps is one of the spiritual gifts, helper. But even that, if you do it in your flesh, the result is it brings attention to yourself instead of bringing glory to God. All of these things belong to the Holy Spirit, and if they're going to be done effectively, they must be done by the Spirit through us. What happens? What happens when ignorant men try these things on their own? Someone might claim the gift of prophecy these days. There are, you know, but unfortunately, prophecy is closed. It's not that God can't give new revelation. He chooses not to because this book is complete. But there are people who say, well, I believe that I have the gift of prophecy. And so what do? They start telling us what God told them. Now, God has a warning about this. Be careful. Whatever you predict must come true, or we'll know it didn't come from me. Well, there is a very well-known TV evangelist that is in evangelical circles. Back in the year 2007, on a TV broadcast, said that God spoke to him. He broadcast this out over the airwaves. God spoke to him and told him that there were going to be massive terrorist attacks in the United States in the year 2007. Guess what? It didn't happen. The same one in the year 2012, during the presidential election in that year, said that God had spoken to him and showed him who the next president of the United States would be. And he declared that God told him Mitt Romney would win the election. That didn't happen either, did it? You know, if it really isn't a gift of the Holy Spirit, and you're trying to do it on your own, what do you end up doing? Making things up, right? Now, this person may have sincerely, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, sincerely thought that God had told him these things. And what he had done, actually, was to give his own imaginations as credit to the Holy Spirit. But what does God say? Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come unto you. Drop down to verse 21. I have not sent these prophets. They ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. The same potential exists today. We're told in 2 Corinthians 11:13 that there are false prophets. Titus chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, there are vain talkers. whose mouths must be stopped because they're teaching things that they ought not. 2 Peter 2:1, there are false prophets among us as they were in the olden times. If you try to do something on your own that actually belongs to the Holy Spirit, you end up doing it in your flesh, and it's just not going to work. You have to make things up. It becomes ineffective. And it doesn't matter which one of the spiritual gifts you try to do on your own, the result would be the same. You make things up on your own, it's never going to work. And so, I have a number of illustrations, but time is getting away from us. I don't know how time got so far along today. Let me go to this point. The point is that you cannot do spiritual gifts without the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. He says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So in verse 3 he says, wherefore I give you to understand. What does he want us to understand? Well, he says in verse 3, no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, how easy is it to say that Jesus is the Lord? Does that seem easy? Well, he says, if you can't do that without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, how are you going to do these other things on your own? We must learn, he says, we must learn to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that he can manifest himself through us. Because it's the Holy Spirit that wants to manifest himself through us. We must learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that, verse 11, he can do the working of these things through us. We must learn how to be an instrument. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield. Place yourself in the hands of God as an instrument, a tool, an instrument, an inanimate object that has no energy of its own. We might put it like this. Can you be a piano in the hands of God? I've used this illustration before, but let's use the cello. Can you be a cello in the hands of God? Now, after the service, if we appreciated that offertory that was played on the cello, we could go to the cello. It's right there. We could come down here to the cello and say to the cello, thank you, cello. We really appreciated that beautiful music that we had. Thank you, cello. John, you don't count. It's the cello. No, we wouldn't do that. Would we talk to the instrument and praise the instrument? No, we would go to Mr. Knost and we would say to him, you played the instrument very well. We need to learn how to be an instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit. That means we really can't claim any credit for anything that's accomplished to the glory of God because it's the Holy Spirit that does it. Just an instrument. Each spiritual gift accomplishes a different task. whether it's pastoring or evangelizing or teaching or exhorting or ministering or giving or helping or ruling or showing mercy. Now, the miraculous gifts, they're all in the past because they were used to confirm the truthfulness of the New Testament. That's already accomplished. They're not necessary. But these things, each one of these things accomplishes a different task. Now, each instrument gives a different sound, doesn't it? We enjoy hearing the flute once in a while. That has an entirely different sound than the cello. And the piano, the organ, they all have different sounds. We all have different ways in which the Holy Spirit wants to use us. But all of it is done to be done by the Holy Spirit himself. We can't do this without him. We need to learn how to have a proper relationship with the Holy Spirit so that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, the energy that he supplies to accomplish anything that will be effective for the glory of God will be the real energy by which we do anything in the name of Christ. Not without the Holy Spirit. I chose that song that we sang earlier on purpose. It's my favorite song of all the hymn book, 477, we sang it earlier, Channels Only. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me that I might thy channel be. Emptied that thou shouldest fill me. A clean vessel in thy hand, with no power, but as thou givest, graciously with each command, witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who boughtest to possess me in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Jesus, fill now with thy spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only. Blessed Master. But with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. May the wondrous power of God flow through us by the energizing of the Holy Spirit. May we recognize how he wants to use us. It's not something that we have to strive for. It's something we have to rest in. I knew when I was very young that the Lord had called me to be a pastor. And in the early years of my ministry, I tried to do it on my own. And it didn't go too well at the beginning. It was only after I learned to walk with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and stop trying so hard on my own to do the work of God that the Holy Spirit was able to begin to work through me. Just rest in him. Follow him through this book. The more you get to know his heart, the more of your heart he will have. And the more of your heart he has, the more he can use you to work through you to do his work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful resource that you have given to us. presence of the Holy Spirit and all the work that he wants to do through us to minister to others. Teach us how to rest in you. Teach us how to yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit, that we might be willing to be just an instrument, that you may receive all the glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.